Let us begin by singing 680, song number 680, Nearer to My God. Let us sing it by faith. Nearer to You, My God, nearer to You. Although here is trouble, although I'm threatened, nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee.
Perhaps we sing as a second song, 682. Although the way is narrow and stony, yet we will see one day the King. Although the way is stony here, one day we shall see the King.
Schnell verschwindet auf dem Blitz der Schatten,
Yes, we shall see the king. Standing before him, jubilating. Praise and thanks be to our God, that we not only sing this, but that we believe it with all our hearts. And the hour will come, the moment will come, when the words will be fulfilled which our Lord Jesus has said. He said, when he went away from this earth, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again to receive you unto myself. And this will happen very, very sure, because heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word remains forever. And upon this we can build, and upon this we can trust. And therefore we are happy and grateful that we can sing this with joy. Yes, we shall see the king standing before him, jubilating, delivered through his blood. This is the only thing, brothers and sisters. Whoever is not delivered by the blood of the Lamb cannot see the King. But whom he has delivered, he may see him. Praise and thanks be to his wonderful name. I would like to read us a short word of God before we pray. Let us stand up for it. From 2 Corinthians 13, just verse 11, I would like to read. 2 Corinthians 13, from verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Up to here, this precious word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts, also for this evening hour. We thank you for your mighty presence. Lord, we feel already that you are not far, that you are near, that you dwell amongst the praise of your people. Lord, we not only have sung, but we believe with all our hearts that you have prepared a place for your people. We thank you, O God, and we know that this earth will be destroyed very soon. But Lord, we know that you have prepared for your people something, and therefore we are always coming together so that you can exhort us, admonishing us through your precious word, that you can correct us just as you want us to be. Give us grace tonight. Take everything away from us what doesn't mean you, from my heart, from all our hearts, Lord, from my thoughts, and from all our thoughts, Lord. May you feel at home in the amongst your people. We ask you, Lord, be merciful to us, be nigh to us. Receive now the honor and the praise and the worship, and hear us, Lord. We are your people, the sheep of your hand. Hallelujah. And we believe you will bless us tonight mightily. You blessed us already, and you will continue to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like that the singers sing for the glory of the Lord, and then Brother Frank will bring us the word. This was the nicest day which God ever gave me. When Jesus came into my dark life, this was the nicest day which God ever gave me. When Jesus came into my dark life, Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. I closed my eyes and I rejoiced wholeheartedly. And I think all of us, we could have continued to listen, rejoicing about what God prepared and what we will behold one day. The Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I come again to receive you unto myself, so that you are also there where I am. Now, some have phoned who rejoiced about the meetings which we had, which became a great blessing for them. We are grateful to the Lord for it. Then Brother Schneider phoned, and he told us that Brother Klose went home. Many of us know Brother Klose from Haiger. And it was his wish, his last wish was that we bury him. And addressing the people at the funeral service. But the relatives don't want it. And so we will just leave it up to God, what he will do. We did our part. Our brother is with the Lord. And whatever happens otherwise, this we have to leave up to God. Not all can bear the truth. Not all are appointed to hear the truth. Each one must find the place which was appointed to him by God. You all know, in the meetings, I had to think about how the next journeys will look like. And I knew, God willing, I will be in January, I will travel to Nepal and to India. But among the first letters which we read, there was then the invitation for Korea, for Japan, for Taiwan. And this will happen, God willing, in February. We are grateful to the Lord that he opens doors unto the ends of the earth, and that his word can be carried and proclaimed. It's a great grace. In the days of our Lord, in the times of the apostles, there had to be made much efforts to come from one country to the other country. Today, we just sit into the plane and we get out and we can start to preach. Also these things, we don't disesteem them, but we are grateful to God that they can be used for the proclamation of the Word of God. I ask you that you pray for it, because until now I was not in these countries yet, and as it looks like, God will bless. I was even invited to speak there in the largest Pentecostal church on earth. We will see what happens. God knows it. And Brother Branham said once, I don't go for the preacher's sake there, but I go there because in the church there is seed of God. Not because of a denomination, but because there is a seed of God which must be called out. Therefore he went there. And therefore we also go there. Not because we identify ourselves with a denomination, but to give the call of God. And this is the last call. That is the last call, this we all know. It's the end of the end time. It's the last call which goes forth. And blessed are all who hear it. And even more, even more blessed are those who obey, who say, Lord, here I am, here is my life. And every time when one hears about it, that somebody goes home, then we ask ourselves the question, what did his life mean in this world? For whom was he a blessing? This is what counts, not what is left behind. Although somebody is a great building contractor and who has great assets, about this the left behind ones may fight about it. But if one leaves behind divine things, there's no strife about it. Whoever has it, and whoever rejects it goes out empty-handed. And so we are grateful that we have a treasure in our hearts, a precious divine treasure. And what we looked at about the sacrifice, about the covenant which God made with us, it really touches me. And if you remember it, Brother Branham made the comparison in a sermon. He said, in the Old Testament, when the one who sacrificed the sacrifice, then the blood was shed and the sin was temporarily covered, but the life could not come back on the one who sacrificed. And he said, with Jesus Christ, it is different. He sacrificed his life. He shed his blood. And his life, through his Spirit, came back on all for whom his sacrifice applies. For all for whom he has given himself for a sacrifice, for all for whom his blood was shed, on them his life comes back. And this is the evidence that the sacrifice is valid for us and that God did what he planned. Then our faith has not only words, but it has its divine confirmation. And I think this is very important, that our faith does not only exist in a confession, but in an experience with God, in a true experience with God. And when the words of introduction were read, I was reading in verse 5, and there it says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Here Paul writes, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. And here we have to say that our Lord, in his last command, he said, them who believe, these signs shall follow. And we are no longer ready to leave the field for the enemy. We want, by the help of God, we want to step upon the ground of the divine promises. Not putting our feet unsecure, but putting them in full certainty upon the promises of God. And being convinced in our hearts that God fulfills them because he has become surety for them, for it. We are worried how things should be, as if we would have to do the things on our own. If somebody else does them, why should we worry? Our task is only therein
to believe that he not only will do it, but that he has done it already. That it is a finished work of redemption of the spirit, soul, and body. And that all promises of God are yes and amen. Just now, we will go to some scriptures. But here in 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, in verse 15, it says, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Paul sacrificed himself for the Lord, for the church of the living God. He wanted to sacrifice himself. Yes, being spent fully. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Inasmuch as Christ gave himself for sacrifice, so also we must be ready to surrender and to bring as a sacrifice what we owe to God. Then it says, in verse 20, for I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumults. Also this, he didn't overlook, but he already foretold it. The Spirit of God didn't forget anything. The Spirit of God, the condition which would be in the church and in the believers, the Spirit foretold it precisely. Paul didn't have to come there still to see what would be there. But by the Spirit, he knew already what is there. Then, this wonderful word at the end of chapter 13, as we just read, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. With this, Paul ends by addressing the word to the brethren, to the brethren who let themselves be corrected, to the brethren who are ready to receive admonitions, to the brothers who receive teaching because they want to stand their ground before God. The first condition is the general condition. The last condition is the condition of them who found grace in the sight of God. Let yourselves be corrected. Receive admonitions, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And this we want, that the God of love and of peace is with us. I would like to read from Hebrews chapter 9. I would like to continue with the subject which we dealt with in the recent days, and then going back to the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 9 from verse 18. whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. This word, which is written in the New Testament, but which was taken over from the Old, has much to say to us. God made a covenant with the people of Israel. The prophet Moses was reading everything what God commanded him, and all said loudly, "Amen," to it. And then he dipped into the blood, and he sprinkled the people, and he sprinkled the book of the covenant with the blood. God already in the Old Testament, that what he promised, he joined it with one another, namely his people and his word, by the one blood which was shed, namely the covenant blood. Both belongs together. God has given his word. In his word are the promises and the covenant, and he has given the blood, and he sprinkled both with the blood, the book as well as the people with whom the covenant was made. And I believe that this is a very important matter. When Jesus, in Matthew 26, he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." There, he didn't have to give any explanation. Every believing Jew knew what is meant by it. And many times I regret it, that we don't understand enough of the shadows of the Old Testament. We don't know it. And the New Testament meaning in all the depth, in every case, to understand this depth. It says, he sprinkled with it the book and also all the people. In the New Testament, we are under the protection of the blood of the Lamb. We are reconciled with God. We are his covenant people. And when we read in the Old Testament, it says, God has chosen a people from all nations, the most little people. But right with these people, he made the covenant. But not only that, not only the book and the people, but all of the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, they were sprinkled with the blood. Everything what has come before God to meet him, everything what was in his house and what wanted to come into his presence was sprinkled with the blood. And by the blood, the access was made free to God. In fact, everything what belongs to the New Testament church, what belongs to the service, everything is under the blood of reconciliation, under the blood of the Lamb. But not only that, but the covenant which God made with us, this covenant has become valid in the moment where the blood of the Lamb was shed. And I think we must finally understand, as it was then, so it is also now. The Pesach Lamb was killed, and with that, all the negotiations with Pharaoh became unnecessary. Moses went and negotiated, and he came back. He went again, negotiated, and he came back. And the heart of Pharaoh became harder and harder. And he again negotiated, and he returned, and the people were more and more oppressed. But then came the day on which the Lord commanded Moses, say to the Israelites, each one, they shall kill a lamb. And in that moment, all the negotiations with Pharaoh were become unnecessary. This was a divine act and a divine intervention. God made an end, and he made a new beginning when the blood of the Lamb was shed. And when they were applied, then the children of Israel could go out. This was God's matter. The Lord Jesus, he did many signs and wonders in his ministry, but the redemption happened on the cross of Calvary. He cleansed the lepers. He gave the sight to the blind. He raised the dead. These were all wonderful things, great signs. But the crucial hour or the crucial day via Gethsemane to Calvary. And there, on the cross of Calvary, perhaps in Gethsemane, the wrestling, the penetration, the supplication, yes, but on Calvary, where the blood was shed, there was the end of all wrestlings and the end of all negotiations. There the head of the serpent was bruised, and the covenant was made with God, and the people of God could go out freely. And I never have heard that Moses, after the lambs were killed and after the people went out, had still a negotiation with Pharaoh. This was not necessary anymore. The matter was settled by God himself. It was settled. The people of Israel went out, and Pharaoh with his army, when they came after them, he of course was covered with the waves of the Red Sea. Beloved, let it be shown to us. On the cross of Calvary, the victory of God in the Lamb of God, in Jesus Christ our Lord, was once for all given to us. There's not one negotiation is needed anymore. The negotiation has come to its end. The verdict was spoken. The chastisement was laid upon him so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we were healed. We are redeemed. He, our Redeemer, the Lamb of God, paid the price on the cross of Calvary. Pharaoh and his army, they drowned. But the children of Israel, they walked on dry ground through it, and they were nourished and kept by God. Beloved, if for this in the shadow by the blood of a lamb which was killed in the house of the Israelites. If already that was such a finished thing, such a wonderful matter, what is then with the moment when the Lamb of God died on the cross of Calvary? Shall we negotiate with the enemy? I wouldn't know why and about what. Our Lord, He dealt with him. And that, what is written in Genesis 3, verse 15, He will bruise your heel, but you will bruise His head. This happened on the cross of Calvary. The people of God went out freely. No one needs to be left behind. And as then, we have read it, as the trump was blown on the day of reconciliation, and all who were enslaved, they could go out freely. So we want to blow the trumpet of the gospel, hoping that all hear the clear victory sound and the victory words and the victory message, hearing it from our God through Jesus Christ our Lord, going on their way to meet God. Let us read from verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Did you read it? To put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Also, this is a wonderful word. Our Lord is priest after the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek had no father and no mother, no beginning and no end. The King of Salem, the King of Peace, the Lord of Glory. And he became a man. He became a servant. And he gave himself for a sacrifice. He didn't have to go every year, but once, that was enough. The divine sacrifice is a unique sacrifice and is valid for all at all times who believe it by faith. It says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. For the first time, he came to atone for our sins, to forgive them, and to give the sinner the opportunity to be saved and to give him eternal life. For the second time, he will come to take the pardoned ones home, those who receive this sacrifice, taking them home, all who accepted the blood of the Lamb for their souls. Him he will take home. He has a flock on the earth which is washed in the blood of the Lamb. Not as much as we know, but whether we experienced what is necessary for eternity to stand one's ground before God. And we've heard so much. We are grateful for it. Now we want to experience. We want to come closer to God and becoming a flock in on which he is well pleased, which is here for him and for one another. People who have the nature of Jesus in them, who have been transformed on their inside. Many times we have said it here. He who was not changed on the inside waiteth for the changing of the body in vain. Many are waiting. Yes, millions are waiting. The singing of the rapture. And they are waiting for it, to have part in it. And this shall not be to make somebody afraid. But there will be a great disappointment. There is no doubt about it. He who is not changed in his soul, in his heart, he is waiting in vain for the changing of the body. Firstly, it must have happened in us before it can happen with us. And we are told in Romans chapter 8, we are told, if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwelleth in our mortal bodies, then we also shall be changed. And Paul lines out what those are and what they have to show, what they can show, who walk after the flesh, and also what they have to show, what they can show, who bear the fruits of the Spirit. And only he can bear it whom it was given. In Galatians 5, it's written, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Perhaps this one thought here, maybe. Everywhere where it speaks of fruit, there we should think a bit. We cannot go to a tree and speak to him with nice words that it should bear fruit. If it's a tree, a fruit-bearing tree, there are of course also trees that never bear fruit, and they will never bear fruit. That nevertheless, there are trees, whether it's a poplar or a beech, there are many trees which don't bear any fruits, but there are also trees which bear fruit. And the fruit-bearing trees, no one needs to worry about. And begging and asking, would you be so kind and bear a fruit? No. It is a fruit tree. And because it is a fruit tree, therefore the lifeblood comes into it. And this life, which comes into it brings forth the fruit, not good words, not the wind which shakes it, not what happens around him, but the life which is in it brings forth the fruit. This is what we have to learn here. The fruit, it doesn't just come like that. Not the fruit of the Spirit. It must come forth in us, but it can only come forth in us if we are trees which God could plant at the riverside, which bring forth the fruit at the right time. God didn't plant fruitless, barren trees, but he planted fruit-bearing trees. These are his plans. And if we have been planted by God, then by the divine life in us, we will bear and bring forth the divine fruit. There's no other way. A tree which is not a fruit tree will never be a fruit tree, and it never become a fruit tree. Here we have the difference. Both are trees. Nobody can dispute that. But the one has such a determination, and the other one has a totally different determination. Not all the people have the same determination, but God has people on earth whom he included into his covenant, people for whom the blood of the covenant was shed, people on whom the divine life comes back on them. And this divine life works the mind and the nature of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. If we could bring forth divine life from our own selves, then we would have done it long time ago. Outwardly, we can pretend that it is here, but in the trial, it will be manifested that we are lacking something. But it shall no longer be this way. We shall recognize what God has made from us, for what he determined us. He said, I have chosen you that you bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. These are his words. And to it, he ordained us. Now, quickly, let us go back to the Old Testament. And right here, reading what was already foretold in the Old Testament. Also of the covenant. There are plenty of places, but today I will not read them all. Let us perhaps read Zephaniah, chapter 3. From verse 9. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, to serve him with one consent. What did we read in Corinthians 13? That you are of one mind. And here it says that God will give to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. This divine consent can only be manifested there where we are given a pure heart. And where there are pure hearts, there are also pure lips. Where there's no pure heart, there's also no pure language. Where there's a pure heart, there are also pure lips. And blessed are those who have a pure heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who have pure lips, for they will speak of the great deeds of God. They will know of whom they can testify of. It continues, verse 12. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. We know where this promise aims. This is not unknown to us, but the words of prophecy which was given to the people of Israel are finding their fulfillment in the New Testament church. God gives pure hearts. God gives pure lips. God has a remnant people who belong to His people, who trust in the name of the Lord. And it is written, he who has put his trust in the Lord shall not be put to shame, neither being ashamed of himself and also not being ashamed of the Lord. He will be able to rise up because God has taken us by our hand. Beloved, the time has come that we fully understand what was given to us in the covenant which God made with us. Not as the ones who are standing outside, no more as beggars, but as a called out people, a redeemed people by God, pardoned, since the blood of the Lamb was shed on the cross of Calvary. Yes, then I will give them a pure language that they serve the Lord with one consent. Not only the people of Israel, but the people. The singers have sung of the wonderful city, of the palms, palm trees, of them who will be with the Lord, from all peoples and tongues and nations. God has a blood-bought flock which will appear before the throne of God. This is a divine fact. About this is not negotiated anymore. It is finished. And it's finished with God already. And in thy midst, I will have a remnant. I will also leave in the midst of the afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. On whom shall we put our trust? In the name of the Lord, who has created the heavens and the earth. On the name of the Lord, which is above every name, on which every knee shall bow, on heaven and in heaven and underneath the earth. The name of the Lord will still be honored. Let me tell you, the spurned name of the Lord will be highly exalted, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. We may also do it today. And we put our trust fully in Him. And it says, Neither shall be a deceitful tongue be found in the mouth, for they shall feed, and they shall lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Is this not wonderful? A flock which lies down, which can feed, which is fed. This happens to the remnant who found grace in the sight of God. People who have a pure heart and who have pure lips they may serve their God, and in his presence they may lay down, and they can make up a flock which none shall make afraid. Beloved, we are coming to rest in God, for there is a rest for the people of God. Maybe tonight, just grasp it by faith and say, Lord, we are your covenant people. You made the covenant with us by sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. You have shed your blood. All the negotiations with the enemy are finished. The work of redemption is accomplished. I'm yours, my Lord. You, who you purchased me with your holy and precious blood. The enemy has no right to enslave me, to oppress me, or to hold me. The blood of the Lamb speaks for me, and it tells me, you are free. Go out. I did it. It is finished. And I say once again, not as long as Moses was negotiating, but when all the negotiations failed, when the heart of Pharaoh was so hardened beyond measure, then God revealed his plan of salvation, not by negotiations, not by signs and miracles, by the blood of the Lamb. And when the blood was shed, the destruction angel had to pass by. But the people which applied the blood of the covenant, it was free. Beloved, we are still in this world, but the blood of the Lamb speaks for you and for me. The high priest went with the blood of goats and calves. Once in a year, he entered the Holy of Holies to obtain an atonement before God. Our Lord, the high priest, the Lamb of God, he went once for all. He entered with his holy divine blood into the Holy of Holies. Today, as priest, to intercede for us. He doesn't sleep today. He watches over his people and he sees us tonight. He knows that we are gathered here in his name, in his presence. And he just wants that we receive it by faith. And if we could call it out with a trumpet sound into it, into this building, he would say, if already the blood of the lambs then means the deliverance of the people of Israel, how much more means my blood for you, redemption and deliverance. You, my people, go out. You are redeemed. You are delivered. You are pardoned. You are mine. Come and follow me and serve me. I'm your God. I redeemed you, and so forth. This the Lord wants to write into our hearts. And this we then shall bring over our lips. Humbly, with a contrite heart, thanking God for such an unmerited grace which was given unto us. Who can grasp it? Who can understand it, what God has done? And nevertheless, he made us sons and daughters of God. One day we'll be in the image of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. This is written. We'll be as he is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. When we will see him, then we'll be like him. We cannot understand it, but it is so, because God planned it this way. He's just the firstborn among many brethren, and we are the firstborn. He is the Son of God, and we are the sons and daughters of God. He was the high priest, and we are a people of priests and kings. He was all, and everything what he was, we have become through him, by the grace of our God, children of God. He, the Lord, became the Lamb of God and has redeemed us with his precious blood on the cross of Calvary. It's a covenant blood for the covenant people of the New Testament. And this is the covenant book. All the words, all the promises are yes and amen. And our Lord says, as long as the one who made a testament is still alive, the testament has no effect. But when the one who gave the testament dies, then the testament is valid. In the moment when our Lord died, the testament which he made became valid. And we are the heirs of God, and the co-heirs of Jesus Christ, forever pardoned. Oh, that we could thank him today for it, from a pure heart, with pure lips, giving him the glory and honor for it. Amen. Let us stand up for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the depth of our hearts for your mighty word tonight. You are pointing us to the redemption, to the necessity that we can enter you into your kingdom. Lord, we thank you that you made the covenant, that you made it with us. For this we are so grateful, and for this we want to praise you, exalting your name. Even today, this covenant is valid. Hallelujah. Your blood has still the same power. Everyone who comes to you will not be disappointed. Praise be to your wonderful and glorious name, O Lord. We apply your blood tonight. We thank you that you're cleansing us, that you purify us, and that you are giving us the pure life blood so that we bear the right fruits. From our own, we cannot bear good fruits, but when your life blood has come into us, then wonderful and dear fruits will come forth. To your name be the glory for your mighty speaking also tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To you, the Lamb. Glory to you. You are present, Lord. Thanks be to you. Praise be to you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive all the praise, all the honor, all the glory, all the worship. Thou art worthy, O Lord.